A year ago, after talking with Nick Archer and some other people, I thought I would give you a call and see if you have had any readouts or have heard of any film coming out of Hanoi regarding Christmas services or anything for the POWs. Do you have a fix on anything, number one? Number two, can you perhaps get a fix on something and get me prices on it and so forth, and we'll make it worth your while if we can come up with something?
Well, so far we have nothing. We did have the satellite from Hong Kong, the four captured pilots.
Right.
I think that's about all.
But you have heard nothing about any
Christmas? No, I don't think they'll do that.
No.
The last we heard was after this assumption of the North, bombing of the North Vietnam, these people are getting very, very angry. They're tightening their grips, and nothing has come out so far.
Do you know which agency was it that filmed the four?
NVN.
NVN?
NVN, the Nippon.
Nippon, right. And that's all they have. They don't have anything else.
No, they don't have anything.
You're sure of that?
Well, if they have, they'll tell us.
I see.
And even if they had any Christmas, they won't tell us until they get the film.
I see. Well, could you make contact with them, and particularly if it is film of U.S. pilots and so forth?
Well, I don't think they're going to display any more pilots.
No, but should they come up with something that they had at Christmas time? You know, last year they did not come out with it until around the first of the year.
Right.
And what I am saying is that we would like to negotiate through you or whatever you suggest on that. Should they come up with it, we would like to negotiate for that film.
Right.
Not necessarily for air purposes, if you follow. But primarily for the families.
Right. I understand perfectly. One of your people been in Tokyo.
Tom Marcus?
Yeah.
Right, that was several months ago. Did he give you a call?
Yes, they were in our office, and
Oh, yes, that was Tom Marcus and Tom Muir.
Right.
Right.
Them, yeah.
Yes, they were there, and they told me about seeing you, and I appreciate your seeing them.
Right, and, Ray Fogg, my boss, has talked to them because he knows more about South Vietnam and...
Right.
Vietnam.
Give Ray my best regards. I have not seen him in a number of years since I left ABC, but...
Right.
But, I still follow his work, and I follow your work coming out of there. I talked with Nick Archer just yesterday, as a matter of fact, and things are quite busy in New York, as one would expect at this time of the year.
Right. Well, to clue you something, NDN offered us an exclusive interview with the president of North Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
And, they had every reason that this man would accept the interview.
Uh-huh.
In English, we had the questionnaires ready and we sent it on.
Mm-hmm.
The last minute, he turned us down.
Was this recently?
A few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Since then, they've been having... NDN was having a tough time. The last one they have offered us a lot of footage, except everything was not worth it was not newsworthy.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was yesterday when they told us they had the interview for the four captured pilots.
Uh-huh. Do they have interviews with the men?
No, they were not allowed to even be. This was conducted in the international club, Hanoi.
Right.
And they had, they let the four pilots, one after another, they had them stand in front of the news then for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
No question was allowed. A North Vietnamese official from Foreign Affairs Office did all the explaining.
I see.
And they wouldn't even let him talk.
Hmm. Now, any of this material that Nippon has offered,
yes.
Does any of it pertain to POWs?
Well, the last one, the one that we had last night.
Other than that, though?
Other than that, no. They knew our demand.
Uh-huh.
Last Christmas, we asked the NDN to try to have a picture showing the POWs in their camp.
Yes.
Whatever they're doing, but the North Vietnamese turned them down flatly.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing this year, too. We asked them that the only interest we have is try to locate the POWs and let us see what they're doing.
Right. But last year they did, Nippon was one of those who finally came up with film, were they not, last year, after the Canadian interview?
Well, that was, the Canadian interview, the cameraman was from NDN.
Yes, yes. But also following that, was there not a lengthier visit to one of the camps? I seem to recall film that was seen in this country, and I thought it was NDN film. For CBS, right. But if you find anything, Jack, that is of interest, I would appreciate your giving me a collect call.
Yeah.
And do you have my number there? If not, let me give it to you.
Just a minute.
Thank you. I will give you two numbers. The first is my office.
Yes.
It's area code. If you hear of anything, any movement, film, material of any type, still pictures or what have you,
right,
of interest, give me a call and we'll work out the details and the arrangement.
Okay.
And we'll make it worth your while.
Now, what city was this?
Dallas. Jack, thank you so very much, and have a very happy new year.
Same to you.
And pass my best regards along to Ray Falk.
I will do that.
Thank you so very much.
Okay.
I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tonight, and that's one of my prime reason in calling today, to see if you could enlarge any at all on what he had to say, particularly about the fact that he had spoken with Gromyko, and more importantly, perhaps, that Dr. Kissinger had spoken with Cho Enlai on his exploration trip, and that unless something happened before then, it would be on the agenda next time around.
I thought that was very interesting, but it was quite literally the first time that, well, we knew that the subject had come up,
mm-hmm,
and that was all we were told, and then and so the president's announcement was really quite a surprise to most of Washington. I would bet you that, you know, there may have been 15 people in Washington that knew that before, but probably not more than that. It was, I thought, a little dramatic because they've been so sensitive about making any statements about anything that was discussed. You know, just as has been the case in the Warsaw talks, you know, they for years went on, they simply had said, no, we will not talk about anything. We will not discuss anything. So this was quite a surprise. I mean, it was quite a surprise to hear the president say it. It wasn't a surprise that it had been on there, and we got so many hints when families were asking in advance. and congressmen called the White House and so forth to, on behalf of all prisoners and on behalf of those in China. And before they left, they'd given them what amounted to. They were saying, look, we can't say, but you can be sure we're thinking about it. I mean, it amounted to saying, yes, we are going to talk about it. But there had been no flat, positive, declarative statement like that made before, nor had there been any papers circulating around that indicated that. So I suppose, as I said, it's probably Secretary Rogers, Kissinger, and a few people, and maybe one guy on the China thing.
What was their reaction? Do you know any more? Have you, since the president made his remarks, have you had any further readout?
No, we have not. We've just had a lot of calls from correspondents and so forth, but we've not had any field from the China desk. The Soviet thing was not very surprising. I mean, you know, we had basically always just assumed that this was going on. We were not on this last exchange he was apparently talking about. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that other than that, it's just pretty.
Since Hope returned, has there been anything further, or have we seen everything in print that took place regarding Hope's
effort? As far as I know, that's all. I was just waiting to see whether or not there's any. It was sort of funny because I saw newspaper stories where it said he was waiting to see whether there was anything, and I don't know whether it was.
Yeah, of course, I saw Tan's reply to some newsman that that he was just being nice to him by not saying no at that time.
That sounds reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's, as far as I know, there's nothing else going on.
Apparently,
I don't know whether he's gotten a flat no on the visa.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, there is some more mail en route, according to Cora's accompanying letter to the families with the Christmas mail that they sent out. She said more mail was expected around January 5. And,
she did.
Yes. The letter which she sent, and I'll just read it to you if you'd like to. It's mostly propaganda, but by the same token, it has a couple of interesting things. She says that the joy of forwarding holiday mail to you has been considerably marred by the news of American bombing 25 miles outside of Hanoi. Massive bombing raids over North Vietnam are no Christmas present for the Vietnamese people, nor for your father's sons and husbands whose lives are severely endangered. If the president had followed the mandate of Congress to set a date certain for the total withdrawal of troops, parentheses, Title VI of the Military Procurement Authorization Act of 72, end parentheses, which he signed into law on November 17, then the men would be starting to come home now, not just their mail. Instead, he publicly stated he would ignore Congress's mandate. Secretary of the Air Force Siemens completed a tour of Southeast Asia recently and stated that he had no intention to change the present policy of heavy bombing. We have forwarded all mail sent to us to North Vietnam, which should have arrived in time for the holidays. We expect to be able to send more mail on January 5. I'm sorry, she says send more mail.
Send more.
Right, on January 5. Unfortunately, we only received mail for 229 of the men to be forwarded. We assume other families probably sent mail through postal channels, and we hope it arrived safely. We're very impressed with the enormity of this delivery. We received 983 letters and greeting cards from prisoners in North Vietnam, and for the first time, we are able to forward 18 letters from U.S. servicemen held captive by the Provisional Revolutionary Government in the South. We are very distressed that the U.S. postponed the Paris talks for 2 weeks, having totally ignored the proposal to withdraw troops and support from Saigon by December 31 to enable the return of the prisoners. We pledge to you at this holiday season our determination to pressure the U.S. to get out of Vietnam so that your men may be released. We hope this will be your resolution also. Peaceful greetings, Dave Dellinger and Cora Weiss. That's dated December
21.
Right.
So and January 5 is the next mailing.
The next mailing, yes.
Yeah, right, going out. I was just turned around. And then I also understood that she'd said they could send mail to the agency.
Yeah, they also had a little insertion at the last minute on a separate piece of paper, which reads as follows. It's just a little thin strip of paper which says, P.S. We understand you may have received from your branch of service a new longer letter form for writing to prisoners in North Vietnam. We have been informed that those forms have not been authorized and are the arbitrary doing of the Pentagon. They will not be accepted, and we fear they may jeopardize mail rights. Authorized form letters are available at no charge from our office. That's all it says.
Yeah, well, that I just was wondering about that. I guess the family's probably gotten the word about that by now.
Yeah. Is she correct, I wonder?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether she means that that's... Can you tell from that letter whether she means that that's what she thinks or that's what North Vietnam has
to say? No, she says from her letter she infers that they have been informed, and they don't say by whom, but I assume it's by...
They have been informed.
Yeah.
That's kind of curious. Yeah. I don't know. I just wondered on the timing whether they'd had time to be informed. I guess maybe so. Maybe somebody sent them a sample or something. And they took it to Paris.
Mm-hmm. What is the situation in Paris now? Are they going to meet Thursday?
The president said that they were going to meet. That's barring, I guess, refusal goes to the other side. So forth. And the other side said that they believe that they proposed the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the president last night said that they were going to meet. I didn't know, realize it was settled.
It's very interesting.
But that settled it, from our point of view.
The most interesting line, and I hope I'm not too optimistic about it, but I seem to get from the president's enunciation in his discussion of China, POW, that from what has been discussed thus far, there could be some movement on the POW issue prior to February 21 when he's there. Now, did you get that inference?
No, I didn't. I thought that the president was trying to be cautious in the sense of saying that, you know, it's basically still up to Hanoi. And
mm-hmm.
he did say that he didn't know whether the Chinese put influence in this, on that question.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not get that impression, but, you know, we're just both, you know, I'm looking at it, and you could be correct. The president's point, I think, which was interesting, was the emphasis on PWs.
Mm-hmm.
Very little talk about Vietnamization.
Yes. Yes.
I thought this was striking, and so did the papers and whatnot. I thought that was really the thing that really emerged on it. Of course, it's Mrs. Gartley, I guess, with a T.
Yeah, he says Garley, but it was Gartley, yes, I'm Gartley, sure. Mark Gartley's mother, probably.
Yeah. Seemed like to me that the president certainly left a big opening for Hanoi to make an offer.
Sure.
And I mean, I think that's been the case for a long time, that...
I would like to have seen Rather pursue a bit more, and he tried to, but the president kept speaking when that statement was made. Rather was trying to question, you mean North Vietnam has publicly rejected a U.S. offer to withdraw in return for, if the prisoners are released?
Yeah, it's a kind of a funny business, because of course if you look at point one, you know, I mean, in a way, you're taking, say, the pessimistic interpretation of point
mm-hmm,
one
mm-hmm.
is everything.
Right.
Because, I mean, what the hell does halt Vietnamization mean?
Right.
I don't know what it means.
You get into semantics in just about every area.
Yeah, you really do. So there's this funny business. You know, the big question during part of the summer was, would they separate point one from point two or from the other point? And then you came up with this business about, but when you look at point one, you know, it's fairly grim in
mm-hmm.
the sense that they really could claim, with a certain amount of justification, if we bought a sort of pig in the poke, they could claim, well, you agreed to everything
mm-hmm.
that we want.
Mm-hmm.
You've agreed that in halting Vietnamization, you must halt all assistance to South Vietnam. Now, that's a fairly extreme, I mean, extremely pessimistic one. But, of course, in this September 16th go-around, I mean, they just really... they never said officially, they never said in the meetings. Their position was never changed. Their position has been in the meetings
mm-hmm.
that the package... And we have to accept all these principles, in a sense, as preconditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not negotiating. It's talks. rather than negotiations. There's no bargaining envisaged by the North Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, when they got around to this, to the question about the separation of points one and two, the newsmen finally poked around, and finally the North Vietnamese, particularly the North Vietnamese, said on September 16th that no, of course, they're inseparable, and that had always been their position. I see what people say, but it looks like after all that, I'm amazed to see news people still sort of beating a dead horse. I mean, they got the answer from the North Vietnamese delegation.
Well, is Kissinger using Burchett in the Peking thing? Or was he just trying to pump it?
I just would not know on that. Did you see there was a news story saying that it...
Yes, that he had met, had breakfast with him in Washington.
Breakfast with him in Washington. I think that that's more... I'm just guessing, just like you would be. I think that that's more a business of hearing everything there is to say. I mean, Kissinger, he's really worked at that. He's kept up, you know, with a lot of these people who are bitterly opposed to him in public, and he sees them and talks to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's on your mind? But I think that's the idea of keeping an open view, and also, and I think a lot of that is psychological. In other words, he's saying to people, I'm not going to say, oh, don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he doesn't want later on for them to turn around and say, oh, well, we tried to tell you, and so forth. He's going to say, well, you know, if you got something to tell me, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more in that line. I just have a feeling that we just don't know yet because it was handled so very closely, but I had a feeling on the China thing that we went through some country like that, perhaps Pakistan, perhaps a couple of others. And it was all pretty much moved over into official channels pretty rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether there was any particular need for a role like someone like Burchett. These do occur. The Cuban Missile Crisis being
mm-hmm.
great.
Yeah, with John Scully.
Example. Yeah, with the whole thing there. But
who in Kissinger's office is working primarily on POWs? Holdridge and...
Holdridge and it just depends. I mean, you know, there's plenty of...
Is Commander Howe involved in it, too?
Well, Haig is. I don't know about Howe. Haig is from time to time. Kissinger himself, Holdridge, Bill Stearman.
Now, the young guy with Scandinavian background is no longer there, is he?
Sven Kramer?
Yeah.
Well, he's still there.
Is he?
Kent Crane is the guy who went over, who used to be an advice person, and went over to USIA.
Well, I thought Sven Kramer, no, not Sven Kramer, there was another one.
Kent Crane?
No, they went back to Harvard.
Oh. Well, not that I, no, Smizer.
Smizer, that's what it is.
Yeah, he's a foreign service officer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went off for a sort of sabbatical strike thing.
Yeah.
Studied. And, so at least, but actually, you know, just it, Stearman is one of the guys who's in there, who works a lot with him. And,
mm-hmm.
and of course, Hughes was always very interested in the families and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
Well, is Kramer in China now? Is he still in? Is he a member of the 25 man group?
Or no, you know? Not as far as I know. No, and this seems to be a very, very technical thing.
I've talked with Kramer a couple of times.
Yeah, well, he's quite interested in this. I've been fairly knowledgeable. The as I said, these decisions, any sort of specific decision, there's three or four people that may perhaps be involved, and on a sort of regular day-to-day basis, Kramer was.
Mm-hmm.
So is Bill Stearman.
Yeah.
And we really don't have much trouble there. It's pretty well read in on the staff there about aspects of the problem. And
I guess everybody's heading west today, the president and everybody out to California.
Yeah. I think that I thought the president did pretty well. I was impressed by what happened last night. Much better than that earlier conference.
Well, I thought he and Rather both did a good job. I thought it was very informative, very relaxed, very articulate, covered a number of areas.
The fact that Rather has a reputation of being antagonistic. He was
mm-hmm.
very, very careful and very thoughtful about it.
Yeah, thoughtful, dignified, and
yeah, he wanted to ask. He wanted to elicit information, but without being trying to be cute or trying trying to be.
I thought it was an excellent. But was it live or was it taped yesterday afternoon? Or do you know?
Well, it was unedited. But I do not know. I think
you don't know when it was done.
I don't know for sure when it was done, but I know that they specifically said it was unedited.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Which I think is a good thing. Yeah. And I noticed that Rather, who was normally on the 11 o'clock, it must have been done late because he was not back up in New York for the 11 o'clock thing. So probably went over very. Probably just taped it.
I would guess that normally the preference is of both sides is to tape.
Yeah, because either side can make make a silly statement.
Sure.
I
doubt that it was live because they never did use that super saying live from the White House.
That's right. I would just take it by omission. It was a good interview. And
yes,
I thought
it was.
That, interesting the amount of time on PW's. Out of the whole thing.
Yeah, I think he went probably close to 12 to 15 minutes on PW's.
Yeah, I mean, he was very, well, I mean, I would say that the president has the better of the both of the form and substance on that. I mean, I think that North Vietnam has not, made a realistic offer.
Is anyone bouncing around, anybody in Hanoi now that we know of?
Not that I know of, and,
anybody in Vientiane, are they seeing anybody, or was Hope the last?
This guy went through there, this Aronson, and then Hope, and that's it.
Did you ever get a readout from Aronson anymore?
Well, what he had was mostly what sort of came out. It hit the press about the same time.
Yeah, the mail and so forth.
Mm-hmm. That was it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. We still don't know. Really, sort of what he did, I suppose it'll sort of emerge in time.
I thought the new film of the film of the four pilots was interesting in several ways. The fact that it was in such a large room, the fact that apparently there were so many press members there.
There's lots of press there.
Lots of press.
That's what I was surprised.
They seemed to be trying in a much more definitive way with the maps and so forth to explain to the press about. What was going on.
Much different, and the pilots, rather than, although smack a little of that kind of, it's wrong, of course, by the Geneva Convention, but the pilots played only a part of the thing. They weren't focused on on them as on the strikes, and this is evidence of the strikes.
Yeah.
It was a little, it was a different sort of thing, and they had a hell of a lot of people there, as best I could tell.
They really did, and it seemed to be a much better appointed place to hold such a gathering.
Yeah. Well, I think that they learn gradually. Although I just think, it's always a mistake for them.
Have you had any word at all on any film of Christmas services? I would think that
everybody's looking for it, and we've not seen anything.
Yeah, but it was about this time now, a year ago, that it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great psychological time if they wanted to play it to come out with it today, immediately on the heels of the president's remarks.
I just was wondering if there weren't some checks or somebody like that, but we've got nothing that I've seen.
I checked with my Japanese sources on Friday, and they said that they were keeping their eyes peeled and they knew of no Christmas film yet.
And I know no Japanese up there, but you see now.
Well, there are some Japanese in there, yes. Nippon is in there.
Yeah, well, they went in through that Nippon Denpa.
Yes.
They went in through China then, I imagine.
Yeah, Nippon Denpa is there.
I see. Well, then, I just don't know what they're going to do. Let's see. The last year, where did it first surface?
The first piece came from the Canadian guy who transmitted out of Tokyo.
Yeah.
He had used a Nippon Denpa crew and then himself, and it surfaced, was fed out of Tokyo, and then there came quite a bit of more film from Nippon and also from an East European, and I forget who that was, but it surfaced about 3 or 4 days later.
Well, you're all right, though. This is about, and this week is about the time, if they made any.
Particularly if they want to edit, you see, which they may want to process and edit themselves.
Yeah, they may well want it edited before it leaves.
Right.
That may hold up for a step. Well, you probably have the inside track on that. You have the Japanese contact.
Well, I talked with them on Friday, and they're keeping their eyes peeled.
You may well get that ahead of any of what's coming up, because they may be very reluctant to talk to anybody who would talk to us until they had the film out. You know?
Right. Right.
Whereas they might tell you something without, in a more informal way, hard to say. We'll keep looking for it. If I get anything on any film showing
good.
The same place, I'll be
good.
Sure to call.
Jim, it's nice to talk with you, and have a happy new year. And if you get any further reflection on what the man had to say last night, I would appreciate it.
Well, I will. As I said, I wanted to emphasize that it seemed to me he was being very cautious about the Chinese thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was addressing two different sort of problems. One was, people will say, well, did you even mention it?
Right.
And the other problem was, is that going to get any place on negotiations? And he was underscoring, yes, that they were not neglecting opportunities.
Right.
And but he was not. Then he sort of backed up, it seemed to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was thinking about that question.
Right.
People would be mad if he had a chance and pass it up, and he understood that and was addressing that.
Right.
Now, I'm just from the speech. I don't have anything on that. But then the second thing was, it seemed like to me that he was very, very cautious about what, in fact.
Nonetheless.
Specifically on the Soviet and Chinese. Possible to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of any signs that would point that way.
Right. I noticed also, I just learned Thursday, that since you and I talked there in Washington, that you were able to make contact with Burchett after he got over here. Was there anything productive there? Is there anything that we could pursue to further develop that, or is it just an informational thing as we are using it?
I don't believe that, I'm not sure that the White House has commented in any way on Mr. Burchett or on the stories of his having met with Dr. Kissinger. So I would be very reluctant to do so, except that I know that Mr. Burchett can be found at any time. And he can find the White House at any time, and he would probably operate that way. On the POW thing, it has been made public by the president now that that the issue of the POWs was discussed in China by Kissinger.
Yes, that's what I was referring to.
But nothing further has been said, and I really couldn't comment on more in terms of how productive that might or might not be. And we've been looking mainly at Hanoi on this issue. And
well, hopefully Thursday will be at least get the issue back on the table, and there will perhaps for the first time be some give and take on the thing. At least the fact that they're meeting is one glimmer of hope, and on the heels of everything that's transpired in the past couple of weeks, maybe there will be some movement, hopefully.
Yeah, it's difficult when you have people like the New York Times writing in the way they did today. I don't know if you get it down there.
Well, I don't get it, unfortunately.
You know, they said, well, now we know that one should accept the 7 points and how marvelous they are and so on. And, Senator McGovern is accusing the president of lying.
Who did the story? Tara Smith?
I don't know who did it. It's in the Post and the Star Post, but just really incredible. So Hanoi gets its courage up again every once in a while.
Well, it was very interesting.
Close to the edge of doing something, then they just read our papers and have their allies.
The very thing that is the center of controversy now is rather interesting, because I spoke with Li Mai, who is a member of the PRG delegation in Paris, and I spoke with him as late as 2 days before Christmas, and he was reluctant to reflect on the first portion of their 7-point plan, or to clarify or to make more definitive exactly what they meant by withdrawal and or release, when the release would begin, And so I said to him, I said, suppose Mr. Nixon were to set a date tomorrow, would you then release the prisoners? He said, we do not deal in supposition. We do not react to supposition. I said, that's not, I'm just trying to clarify what you mean. He said, well, it's all there. I said, yes, but you're not saying if you would release, if Mr. Nixon were to set the date tomorrow. He said, we will not deal in supposition.
They always get back to the modalities or something.
Sure.
Some intermediate step.
But it's all kind of strange that, of course, I think it all really boils down, Sven, to the fact, I'm not sure in my own mind that they want us out of there. I've never been convinced of that.
Really? It's an interesting thought.
For two reasons. First of all, and probably the least important, that they lose the center of world stage if we were to withdraw everybody. They lose the center of the world stage.
But they would also probably win if we did get out, so they might...
Well, but they would lose as they won, because I feel quite certain that Moscow and Peking would drastically reduce, if not cut almost entirely, their aid to them. And they cannot really survive without the aid from the two countries. And I'm not talking about wartime material as much as other aid. But they must have that aid, and I don't think they would have it if our presence is not there.
If our presence includes assistance, though, and if the assistance is also cut, then it would just be a matter of time for an invading army to take over
one
that wasn't getting more support.
That's right.
Without, I mean, the superpowers, they are dependent on the superpowers totally, the North Vietnamese.
That's right.
But they've got pretty good stocks, and as attacking guerrilla army, if they want to sacrifice a lot of lives, they can cause an awful lot of trouble.
I just haven't.
That's an interesting notion.
I mean, I'm just not thoroughly convinced that they want. But I think that the one thing they would like to see out, of course, if they had their preference, yes, they would like to see the airstrike capability out, because that is the one thing that, in our meetings with them, that they repeatedly refer back to, which is very evident that they fear most of all, and at the same time, that they respect that. They will not talk about it publicly, but they do respect the air power. That's the one thing that that they would like to see removed.
You were in Paris this last week?
No. I was there mid-December. I was there, yes, mid-December.
Have you been in touch at all with any of the POW families in your area? Have they called you, or?
Yes. You mean since Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I get totally different readout from them. They're not as upset there. As a matter of fact, they're somewhat, it took on a plus factor with them. They were somewhat enhanced by the president's statement, because, as one of them put it to me, if nothing else, each time he talks about, in recent months, he's talked about the POWs, he's become more indelibly committed to them. That's their readout on it. And this, I think, makes them feel somewhat better. Our big problem through here, and in most, I say through here, it's not just in the Texas area, but everywhere, I seem to sense, rather than the anger and frustration anymore in talking with the families, more of a depression.
Mm-hmm.
And,
how were they affected by the Chinese release of prisoners? Or did that not have any carry?
No, it did have, because they were all, as one of them said, well, what else was negotiated by Dr. Kissinger, you know? And maybe they are going to get into our husband's cases.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them were heartened, I think, by that announcement.
Mm-hmm.
That they had released the two men.
May I ask, do you know anything about Mr. Perot's calling Charlie Cook, Mr. Charles Cook? Do you know Charlie Cook here in Washington, formerly with the Pentagon and then with Mr. Richardson? He's a classmate of Elliot Richardson, the Undersecretary of State, formerly now ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
He was a classmate of Mr. Perot's, and Mr. Perot.
I know, I've heard him mention his name in days gone by, over a year or so ago, but I have not heard him mention him recently, which is not to say that he is not called, but I am not aware of any such call.
Actually, no. I did hear that he had called and had asked him for advice on the POW issue.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to indicate to somebody in your area that Mr. Cook's views on Vietnam have altered very much in the last 2 years.
Oh, really?
very, very much in the opposition, and therefore his advice would not be considered simply as that of a former expert on the issue. He hasn't worked in Vietnam for about a year or so, but also as one who was directly...
I'll pass that along to Ross.
Be colored by that.
Right, I'll pass that along to Ross. I think I met Cook one time. It seems to me it was almost 2 years ago, but that was my only time to ever meet him. But I
think he was sort of asking him as a classmate as much as a former very senior official or senior special assistant to the Undersecretary of State. I'm curious about it.
It's kind of interesting, I think, that there has thus far been no film released by Hanoi on the usual Christmas dinner type thing and Christmas services. And
well, of course, the bombing raids now were affected that. They did release the pictures of the new prisoners they took, looking rather sad and so on.
Yeah, I love the expression on, I forget his name, but the 6'4" guy, the major, while the others seem to haphazardly, half-heartedly go through the Oriental or the North Vietnamese demand to, with hands placed in front of them in something of a bow, the big tall guy just strode out to the center of the stage and kind of glared at everybody. And I thought that was, of course, he probably paid for it later, too. it was rather interesting. Anything that we should be doing, perhaps, that we haven't been doing much of anything, as a matter of fact, except at a low profile and meeting and punching around and seeing where there's anything going on, and it's been rather quiet.
No, I think that the wives of the split within the league is something to be concerned about in the long run, and they have their convention coming up. Now, the national board will be meeting again with Dr. Kissinger, in this case a new board, for the second time in about 2 or 3 weeks here, and they have asked a lot of really tough questions, and they always do. There are now more and more people within the league who are going for the terminal date.
They're
working together with the governor and so on. And I guess as the campaign heats up, there'll be a lot more temptations in that direction to go political, which means for those people who are using that line to go strongly anti-administration and for a unilateral terminal date. So,
Do you have any particular feeling? I have been bouncing around in my mind. I wonder if it would make sense if the league were to split into two divisions, one for MIAs and one for POWs, because first of all, their problems are dissimilar. And secondly, there seems to be more heat coming from the POW side than there is from the MIA side. I know there are some jealousies, feelings between the two.
I really wouldn't know which personalities were concerned, because that would be a factor. But also, maybe the MIAs can help, ladies can help calm down some of the POW people. So there might be some value in retaining that group, even if the chemistry isn't always so good. But I really don't know. I think it would be finally a factor of personalities. Who are the leaders of each, and what do they want?
That's probably true, too.
So far, rather than as an abstract principle, because so far it's the chemistry of the ladies that are... kept the organization going and on a relatively even keel, Joanne Vinson being sort of... superb, and now Evie Grubb and Carol Hansen being very responsible at the national level. Although I must say they're asking really tough questions, they go right to the core of things, at least in their private discussions. I don't know, I don't follow the newsletter that carefully, so I don't know what they're saying publicly, but they are concerned about things getting a little bit out of hand at the convention, which will probably be moved up from May to
May,
March or something. I think
Well, I know
the pressure is on.
That's true.
People that are pressing wanted to have an impact in the primaries and so on, and McGovern and McCloskey and that type is working pretty hard in that direction. And
we don't get, of course, we don't have nearly as many dissidents in our area, in the state of Texas, for that matter. We don't have as many as say California has, and you have a few in the Virginia Beach area, That seems to be the two strongest, a few in Florida. Of course, Mrs. Gartley planning to question the other evening. It's not too surprising. It's a shame that people do not know how her son has been used by the other side repeatedly. But there again, you...
Oh, she was from Texas, but I didn't realize that.
No, she's not Texas. She's from Florida.
Yeah.
She's Mrs. Gartley. Her son is Mark Gartley.
There was a very fine lady that we met from down your area. I can't remember her name, but she single-handedly, having been impressed with... Oh, she's from Corpus Christi. Impressed with Dolph Roge's talent, so to speak, mm-hmm. and singer. Mm-hmm. She got him all over the place down there and got the place stirred up.
I've got to hear him one of these days. Ross has heard him and speaks very highly. I have not yet had an opportunity to hear him, but I hear that he does a tremendous job.
Well, I think Mr. Perot only heard him for the half hour here at the White House in the East Room in January a year ago.
Well, I think he probably heard him in Florida also.
Did he hear him there? Because Dolph is worth hearing for his, really, for his hour-long focus, and plus his singing of his song, which is now on the POWs, which is really going all over.
I know that we even, Ross was so enhanced by him that that we pursued the possibility, and someone up there did not want Dolph to do it, but Ross thought it would be great if he would get on one of the network talk shows.
Well, let me tell you along that line, I'm very glad you mentioned this, because at the time when Mr. Perot was kind enough to be interested in this, that judgment was given here that it was not appropriate for Dolph to, if you will, surface in that public way, in national mm-hmm. way. The issue came up again, however, this fall again, and specifically because the David Frost people had been interested in him
mm-hmm.
at the staff level. And so we got permission here from the powers that be for Dolph to go on,
mm-hmm.
and then the Frost show people hemmed and hawed a little bit, and finally, just a little while before Christmas or the end of November, they said, speaking in the name of David Frost, who, however, I'm sure was never consulted on it,
mm-hmm.
they said they had no interest whatsoever.
They must have changed producers.
So,
could have.
Which I think is just scandalous. And this time the problem was not here, you know, as it had
mm-hmm.
been before.
Well, is that still the posture? That he...
It's
he
fine for him to go on. Now the ball lies in the David Frost show's court. And I would just wish that sometime, somehow, David Frost himself might be consulted on this, or might have a judgment, and I can assure you personally, from everything I know right now, that people here would say, fine, if they want Dolph Roach to go on, they can have him, you know.
What about the Today Show?
Or any show.
No, I have...
The Today Show, Dolph is more reluctant about, because he says that 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, usually with another person there as well or so on, isn't quite right, but I'm sure he would, of course, be delighted to go on at all. But he thinks the David Frost show would be the best, or the Cabot show, because, and especially Frost, because one person can be on for 20 minutes at a time.
Cabot show would, Dolph, I assume, is can handle himself quite well when they begin to slice at him.
Well, he doesn't, he cannot be in a debate situation.
No, I don't mean debate, but I... Cabot tends to slice a lot, particularly with people that believe other than he believes personally.
Yeah. The Frost show would be the ideal format, probably. And
except
maybe today, a little bit of today, and maybe he could sing a POW song. Or
of course, the Frost show has the smaller audience.
Yeah,
much,
but it
much
would be
smaller.
Kids. He would be the... One could tape it and use a tape of that, for example, too.
Mm-hmm.
Adolph's record has been an absolutely phenomenal success that he did with Phil Crane last March. Crane's office just inundated. They can tell where Dolph has traveled because they suddenly get lots of requests for the record from California,
mm-hmm.
Michigan, or wherever.
That's good. That's good. Spin, it's nice to call, of you to call, and it's good to talk with you again, and I actually should have been touching base with you more
quickly. Hope to see you here in Washington sometime.
Good. I may be up that way next week. I have been putting off a trip for quite a while. And I just might be up there the first part
fine,
of next cause week.
Fine, because we could also, I have all kinds of fact sheets and things on some of these subjects, and they might interest you just for
great.
Background. And
great.
We can chat a little bit more than we can on the telephone about some of the things.
Very
okay?
good. Will do.
Right. I assume you might be in touch with General Hughes, and if you are, you might just, and if you're getting together with him, you might let him
Good.
Know of my interest, and I'll drop by, or you can also meet with some of the other people here.
I'd like to very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye. Bye. And good New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Where did this take place?
In Hanoi. So what I'm saying is that's why it's little information.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say that.
But he is out moving around.
But he's out moving around and back in the, you know, back in there, prominent position.
What French delegation did he meet with?
Pardon?
What did you say he met with? A French delegation?
French Communist Party.
French Communist
Piquet
Party.
Piquet is the head of it. René Piquet, I think, was leading his delegation. And they had a long, you know, I mean, it was all...
It's interesting for another reason, you know, that means that people are traveling to Hanoi again, apparently.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, of course, this business about the, this business about the, you know, not getting in. I just looking through the past FBIS reports,
mm-hmm.
just paging throughout, looking for some other stuff. And, you know, I mean, what the hell, they just had, there was a brief, very, very brief holdup, I think, cost maybe one flight. To cancel in there from Vientiane. I don't think the alarm was ever under since August. I mean, you know, the people who've been coming and going there, it's a question of what, who the North Vietnamese want to visa to.
How often does that ICC plane fly?
The ICC plane goes up every Tuesday and does a turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes down to Saigon Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So Tuesday, it's a turnaround in Hanoi once a week. On Tuesday.
No longer on Friday, huh?
No, because the Aeroflot. The Aeroflot goes in on Friday.
From Vientiane?
From Vientiane. It comes up, let's see now, how the hell does that come? Moscow, then it has a stop, southern Russia, then, Tashkent, I believe, and then it stops in India, and it's changed the places it stops there. But I believe it puts down at Calcutta. Then it used to go to Burma, but I think now it just goes into Vientiane.
It goes Calcutta to Vientiane.
I believe it's Calcutta to Vientiane, and I think exceptionally it can stop at Burma.
Now, does it return by Vientiane?
Yeah. So it goes in on a Friday night, comes out very early Saturday morning.
In on Friday night, not on Saturday
now
morning.
Now on Saturday morning. It overnight.
What kind of air flight plane is that?
Is that a Lucian 1, what is it, Lucian 119? Or
the jet wing.
Pardon?
A jet?
Yeah, it's a jet.
Prop jet.
It's a prop jet with a pretty good capacity. It's a pretty good, I think somebody told me, and I'm sure, yes.
The ICC plane is going in on Tuesday afternoon and coming back Wednesday morning, or turn around and coming back Tuesday night.
Comes back Tuesday night, and it comes back a little earlier. Remember, it used to get into Vientiane about 9 or something like that. I think now it gets in there 8 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A little earlier than it used to. So he's back out on Tuesday night at Vientiane before 9 o'clock in the evening. And the Aleutian goes in on Friday. It's in the afternoon. Comes out very early. They may have changed this, and it's not a... I don't think it's a schedule they need to adhere to down in a minute. But my impression is they're getting into Vientiane something like a little after 7 in the morning. Now, the old ICC plane took about 2 hours for that flight.
Mm-hmm.
A little less if you had a tail line, of course.
Yep.
This plane makes that flight, I'm sure, considerably faster, but I don't have the precise thing on it. I can tell you.
And it leaves Vientiane at what time to go into Hanoi normally?
It leaves in the Friday afternoon, and I had a schedule. I can look that up.
It's near around 2 or 2:30, isn't it?
Something like that. I think it's pretty early.
Yeah, and then comes out about 7.
Yeah, I'm sure we
are leaving Hanoi about 7.
In view of the fact of our on-air activity.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you this very funny story about the Russians on the plane?
No.
Well, when they used to go to Burma, and then they didn't put down at Changchun because they couldn't see, they would put it in Burma, and then they would fly across Laos, up very long Prabang, and then sort of in a kind of a slightly bent line from Rangoon over to Hanoi.
Mm-hmm.
And So partly as a joke, yes, that they were talking about the Chinese roads, you know. And this was when it was lots quieter. But they had the anti-aircraft. He said to the Russians, he said, gosh, you know, he said, I wouldn't if I were you. I wouldn't be flying that illusion over there because they're shooting everything and move. And the Russian ambassador said, thank you very much. And they changed their flight
plan
to go where the imperialist Americans were bombing rather than where their socialist comrades were building roads. Because they knew that we would not. You know, we would take special precaution not to hit them. And they didn't take it as a joke at all. I got the tweet, the Lao got the, you know, note telling him, here's the flight path.
That's beautiful.
It's lower.
How do you read the Radio Hanoi broadcast overnight? Which is it new? Has it added a dimension for withdrawal of prisoners?
It doesn't commit them to anything at all, except I thought it was, of course, the obvious is what they didn't say. They said he was robbed, but they didn't say that the proposition was correct.
Mm-hmm. They said that the prisoners would not be released until not only all the troops were withdrawn, but that the Vietnamization program ended also.
Well, that's even in the point one, it's called Vietnamization.
Mm-hmm.
And our, of course, again, the first week that came up, we raised it, we said this is one of the many things that we don't know what this means. And then we asked, Habib asked, well, what does that mean? And, you know, so this business, you could look at point one, apart from, they could say we separated point one from all the other points, and we'd still be in a bad shape because we still wouldn't know what the hell we were committing ourselves to.
Mm-hmm.
Halt Vietnamization can mean a very limited thing.
Is it reasonable to assume that all of tomorrow's action at Paris is going to be on POWs someplace?
Or I think that, I don't have a clue. There's going to be some mention, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, the thing that strikes me as obvious is that North Vietnamese, we don't know whether North Vietnamese is going to try to pull anything new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's quite a while now, and their 7 points has run out on time.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, they're going to raise hell about the bombing, of course, and make a big show about that.
Yeah.
That's definite. I don't know what all we're going to.
Has there ever been any readout on how successful we were with targets up there? Apparently not two, because we haven't mentioned it.
It didn't get what seems to me a very successful readout at all. It wasn't a very good readout at all. What we've gotten is I just don't think we know yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that eventually those things will come out. In other words, they'll come out either, like, you know, because they're going to get a readout and somebody's going to say, that's fair, or they're going to just, the damn weather was freakish, apparently. And of course, it was during that same time that North Vietnamese, you know, just roared ahead and loud because we couldn't get any air. In a few days, there couldn't really move at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know the pilots that were interviewed. Did you see that program where they interviewed some of them?
Yes.
Well, you got a very mixed bag there. Some of the guys thought that wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the civilian casualties and the claims that the North Vietnamese had made in their broadcast. Rather interesting. I mean, saying, you know, they had lots of people killed and so forth. But when you tab it all up, they didn't. In fact, they don't even claim to have very many people killed, less than 40, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And since they've exaggerated the plane losses about 3 or 4 times, I figure if you divide by 4, that they must have gotten about, probably did. 10 or 11 civilians.
Right.
And of course, typically, the North Vietnamese say that, you know, you never hit military targets in North Vietnam. You only hit hospitals and orphanages now. So that's not very clear. True for its pilots, but they've gotten a hold of a couple of things, a couple of depots.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, the damn weather precluded photo recce. By the time we get photo recce on that, they'll probably take enormous pains to conceal any damage from the air, because they're very much aware of that. They used to hide trucks, you know, like on a trail. We hit a truck and take the photograph the next day, and if you had a few hours in there, they'd drag that damn truck off, discuss it,
mm-hmm.
make sure that, you know, we thought we hadn't gotten it.
Have we had any further readout from the guy sent back for, as a result of the message brought out by Sexton? No further movement in that?
Nothing on that.
Well, we have 14 status changes.
Altogether, you mean off in that and the Sexton and its, the letter's got a few things changed.
Mm-hmm.
Kavanaugh had just been changed.
I was talking about primarily from the Sexton thing.
Yeah,
didn't he bring out 14 names?
Yeah, but a lot of those were known.
I see.
It meant very few status changes.
Yeah.
It means Simon, those are great, but a lot of those were known.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
What about his contention that one that is KIA, one that died in captivity, was shot in captivity?
Well, I think I don't know how that actually has been handled.
There's been nothing public on it.
I don't think that they. I think we're considered an exceptional case.
Yeah.
They
probably also are Sexton is still such a question mark in some areas.
Well, yeah, I think that
because of his family attitude.
And it was complicated, I think, furthermore by a kind of little tension between father and son.
Yeah.
You talked to the father.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess he's a good enough guy, and he seems very rational when he talks to Frank, but he's going to get a little excited.
Yeah, he does. He's still got a hard on for some general that he feels is responsible for the delay in the letter.
Well, I'll tell you that thing is egg on your face. And Larry did not beat about it. Said it was a mistake. Shouldn't have happened and so forth. Now, which I think was the best way to find him. He got a hold of all, when Larry got all the information, he made some sense out of it. Well, look, it's just a screw up. We'll try to make it out somehow. So I think that's, I know, though, that there was no association between the status change and any foreknowledge of Sexton's delusion.
Don't we have a couple of North Vietnamese in this country that we're interrogating?
Here? In this country? Not to my knowledge at all.
We don't.
I think that would be very, I would say that would be very unlikely. He'd mm-hmm. be damned impractical. You wouldn't need him. And the people that, the setup is in Saigon for any interrogation.
Yeah.
He would be a rare case. Rallied, be a different subject, or advice from somebody who rallied, and then you brought over here for a technical advisor on the apparatus, something like that, but to my knowledge, nothing, we wouldn't move. They had a hell of a time on that, remember on a case that was in the newspapers about 3 years ago, about moving somebody, reported that a North Vietnamese was moved from Laos to South Vietnam. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be anything like that. You wouldn't bring it over here. The benefits wouldn't equal the, just be another stick to the administration. They wouldn't do it. You'd fly the guy, if you wanted something special, you'd fly the guy out from here.
Mm-hmm.
And, it would tell it.
There's still a lot of heat up there as a result of the president's statement on the...
Well, lots of stories on the thing, banking and pausing.